Welcome to Rainer on Leadership, where we're going to be talking about five church membership models. This is your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I am Tom Rainer, and I am joined by Sam Rainer. And just to let you know, if you've just started listening to Rainer on Leadership, Sam is now co-hosting Rainer on Leadership and will be for the future. As we have mentioned, when we said our farewell to Jonathan and in the end of September, as he made the move to become a Vice President of Communication for the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee. Great move for him, but it is really, really fun to have Sam here. Sam was supposed to join us anyway. He was going to become a third party here, so we're just back to two. And if you listen to the first two episodes with Sam, episodes number 577 and 576, we had some rich discussion about reaching the community and how an established church adopted a church. And go back and listen to those if you have not. I want to thank Vanderblumen, our sponsor for Rainer on Leadership. They have been serving churches for more than 9 years. Did you know that Vanderblumen also serves Christian schools, nonprofits, and Christian businesses? If you're listening, you know a Christian school, nonprofit, or a values-based business that is hiring, contact our friends at vanderblumen.com. You know, I'm reading that script, Sam.
Yeah.
And I just realized it says, so if you're listening.
Well, they are.
Yeah. If they hear that, they're listening. So those who aren't listening couldn't respond to it anyway.
Hey, you know what I love about William Vanderblumen?
What?
He's always smiling. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, he has such a good organization. He's always
smiling. I mean, he's just a happy guy. That's kind of who you'd want to be looking for a staff position for you.
In the previous episode, you talked about talking to a friend who had used Vanderblumen. Repeat that story.
Yeah, no, it was just a friend of mine, a peer of mine, a pastor, and I think he's used Vanderblumen now 3 times and has had such great success. He's just like, I wouldn't use anybody else. I mean, he's just locked into what Vanderblumen does. It's been the hires that have been made through Vanderblumen at his church have been hugely successful.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because William just always smiles. I mean, he's just happy. So he draws in a lot of good people.
That could be it, Sam. And whenever I've gone to their corporate headquarters in Houston, they're smiling. Everybody's there smiling. Holly, who's VP of marketing, will greet me and she'll say, hey, Dr. Rainer. I'm Dr. Rainer to them. I don't, you know, one of these days, you're a Dr. Rainer too, and you're always Sam. I'm a Dr. Rainer, and I'm always a Dr. Rainer. I can't quite figure that out. Is that age?
Well, you are old, if that's the question.
Yes, yes. And so the doctor comes with age, but you have your PhD, just like I have a PhD. So we could call this the Double Doc Show, or we could call it Rainer on Leadership. I think we'll call
Doctors Rainers. That doesn't have a nice ring to it at all.
I think we'll just continue to call it Rainer on Leadership. Today, we're going to talk about five church membership models. And we've gotten a lot of this information from the community at Church Answers about what do you do to admit someone into your church? What is the entry point? There are a lot of churches that have very minimal entry points. There's some of them that have very extensive and exhaustive entry points. We're going to discuss each of these, and we'll talk about, I don't know necessarily say advantages and disadvantages, because some of these I just really would prefer that churches did not do. But if churches don't listen to what I prefer, they're going to do it anyway. So we're just going to talk about each of these ways. How does someone come into membership? Let me just offer a caveat. Several years ago, I wrote a book called I Am a Church Member. And I remember that one of the editors suggested that I avoid the church member terminology, simply because it has this institutional type of feel to it, and it doesn't have that organic feel. Well, I'm a 1 Corinthians 12 guy. Well, actually, I'm all 66 books of the Bible and all chapters of the Bible, but I'm a 1 Corinthians 12 guy, and 1 Corinthians 12 is about member. Now, I am a member of the body of Christ. And someone said, well, no, that's a metaphor for the body. It's members of the body. Okay, that's what church membership is. Church membership is that lived out metaphor of being a member of the body of Christ. So I am not going to abandon the word membership because maybe it's taken on too much institutional negativity in other places. I'm going to affirm it because it means you are a part of the body of Christ. So that's my little, that's not a rant. That's just a little segue into each of these. So Sam, let's talk about the five church membership models. The first one is membership through an entry class without significant follow-up. And by the way, this one is the most common when pastors and other leaders admit it. There's an entry point. We go through information, expectations, and maybe some level of assimilation. But after that process, there's not a lot of follow-up. You see that a lot?
Absolutely. And follow-up is critical. It's the missing component of assimilation if you have a membership class. And we found that out through our own church. We used to have these classes, people would come, and we just kind of left people hanging. And so what we've done is I've actually, at the end of our class, we actually say, we're not going to, you know, ask for a decision right now. We're going to follow up with you. And so we take all of the people that go through our classes and we assign them to a staff person. And the following week, by the next Thursday, they get a phone call saying, okay, let's talk about the class. You've had time to pray about it. You've had time to sit on everything. Do you have any questions? And so we actually create a spreadsheet. I know that's a shocking thing for those
you
who know
me. You
have
a spreadsheet?
We have a spreadsheet with names in it per class. And we keep track of everyone that has taken the class, where they are in their decision, why they are at that point in their decision. And there's just notes and, you know, we just keep these notes and we follow up for about 6 months. We'll, you know, after 6 months, if somebody's taken the class and they still don't want to join, it's probably time to leave them alone. But in the course of that 6 months, we may contact them six different times. Just to see where they are. I'd say the vast majority of people that go that actually sign up, go through a class, it's required for membership at our church, they join. But there are those who may be coming from a different background or have some more questions doctrinally or just want to get to know people better. We do follow up with them regularly. Follow-up is absolutely critical. The class is only the starting line. The follow-up gets you to the finish line.
There you go. I like that. Another common one that has been used historically, and I know that it has been very common in many Baptist denominations, from SBC to other Baptist denomination, is the membership by request and affirmation. And that's basically someone saying through the filling out of cards, old school, maybe walk in an aisle or some type of indication, I want to join the church, and they fill out an application, and it's a minimal application, and then you have either a business meeting or you have the congregation in the worship service, and they say, everybody that wants this person, that welcomes this person to the church, say amen, amen, and that's how you bring. That's how I started in ministry, Sam, with somebody request it, and we would affirm them in the worship service.
And actually, like the affirmation, we do that at our business meetings. We have our congregation affirm all new members with a yay vote. But the problem is you never have any, unless you're a unique bird of a church, you usually don't have any no votes. While this is has been common in the past, it's becoming less common where somebody would just request membership and be affirmed for membership. I do believe it's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
It's dangerous in one way when it comes to maybe child protection issues, but just protecting your church from just anybody coming in. And there's a lot of liability associated with that as to who's a member and who's not. But it's also not fair to the person because they don't have an opportunity to know what they're getting into. That's what the class is for. You know, I tell people, well, why should I go to a class? I said, well, do you know what you're getting into? Well, I think I do. Well, let's know that let's all be on the same page. So that's one of the big reasons we push people into our class, and it's one of the big reasons why we require it for membership, is because I want to be fair to those who say they want to join the church. I don't want them to join, and then 6 months later, you know, I preach something, and they're like, well, I didn't know your church believed this. The membership class helps us head that off at the pass. It helps us set expectations. In fact, that's one of the main things that we teach is expectations. Here's what we expect of you as a member. I don't want people to be joining our church and then go, wait, I didn't know these were expectations when we try to implement them. So I do think membership by request and affirmation is one way of doing it, but I do think that there's some dangers associated with that.
It's fraught with dangers. It's fraught with frustration. This is one, if churches are doing it, I would strongly encourage them not to do so. Some many, many years ago, I'd have to go back and look at the publication date, but I know it was in the 90s. I wrote a book called High Expectations, and it was a book about how people are being a trend that is taking place. And I noticed a trend where we're getting away from the membership by request and affirmation. Membership classes are becoming more common. Expectations along with information is being communicated and sometimes even including assimilation. I don't know if you know this, but I got beaten up for that book because basically the critics were saying, you're saying that membership has works, whereas salvation is grace. That doesn't make any sense. And, you know, those people were bound and determined that no one had to have any type of expectation to come to a class. We should accept them, or not class, but into the church. We should accept them regardless. We've gotten away from that. And now when we talk about membership classes, we're not in the 90s. We're obviously in late 2019 recording this. It is a new day. That transition has been. If you go back to the days of High Expectations, there were very few churches that actually required membership classes to get in. We did the research and published it in that book. Things have changed, have they? Totally
changed. Things always change, Dad.
You know what? I'm older.
Yeah, I'm getting there. How does it make you feel? I'm going to be 40 next year.
Oh, it makes me feel ancient. You know, of all the milestones that I've had in my ageism, you turning 40 is probably one of the most significant. I'm not going
I'd be curious as to what you mean by significant.
Well, when I turned 40, it felt like I was no longer a young person. When I turned 50, you boys celebrated my 50th birthday with all kinds of ridicule. So it really made me.
But that's nothing. That's any day. That was just a normal day.
I know trash talking is the love language of the Rainers, without trash talking, we don't even know how to communicate, quite frankly, except for your mom. Yeah, your mom is not going to trash talk you boys.
She is the reason Grace is in her home.
There you go. I haven't met Grace. I see what you're talking about. You're talking about that Grace, and just this whole thing about membership. I want to get back to this just a minute. We're deterring too much. Let's go to number three. Membership through an entry class with significant follow-up. We kind of covered that. The first one was with significant follow-up.
Yeah, be fair to the people that join the class or that come to the class. They're there. They took time out of their day or days, depending on how you do it. They've spent at least an hour, if not several, with you, and you're just going to leave them hanging? That doesn't make any sense. If they come to a class to talk about membership, they are expecting you to follow up. So it's kind of silly for you not to follow up. It's like when somebody submits a card and puts their phone number and address on it, and it comes in through the church, through the worship service. If you don't follow up with them, you're not fulfilling their expectations. You're actually coming under the bar of expectations that you should be. So you need to have follow-up in your class. People are expecting you to follow up.
One thing that is happening in a number of churches, when membership classes started, they started with basically information. Here's our doctrine. If we're part of a denomination, here's something about our denomination. Here are the staff members. Here's the layout of the church. Here's where the children's area is. Here are the restrooms. On like that. Then what was subsequently added by a number of churches, it went from information to expectation. We're not only going to talk about what is about the church, we're going to talk about what your role should be in the church or could be in the church. A third element is being added, and you alluded to this earlier. It's not only information, it's not only expectation, but it is assimilation as well. Many membership classes are not granting membership until someone is now somehow involved in the church, maybe a ministry, maybe a group, community group, life group, Sunday school class, something of that way. So that has happened. But here's the question I want to ask you before we get to these final two points. Do you have any preference or have you seen any type of positive on how long and how frequent a membership class is. I'm not talking about how many times do you offer it a year. I'm talking about how long is that particular class? Is it hours? Is it days? What's effective?
Yes, I would say anything more than a couple of hours and you're losing people.
Yeah.
So we have ours is on at 12:30 with lunch on a Sunday afternoon, and we land the plane at 2 o'clock. And we tell them that because you've got kids that need naps. You've got people that have already given you their morning. Now it's into the afternoon. So we eat lunch for about 30 minutes from 12:30 to 1. And then from 1 to 2, we cover all of the high points. And let me tell you, I understand some of the reasoning behind having multiple classes, multiple hours. But if you can't tell somebody in an hour the expectations of your church, I don't think you're refined enough in what you're communicating to them. So we do everything in an hour. We hit all those high points. We have plenty of things that we give them so that they can read on their own and follow up with us. Understand we're calling them afterwards. We even may be meeting with them a couple of times afterwards to talk about who we are as a church. But the class itself, yeah, I don't think it needs to be much longer than a couple hours in one setting, preferably Sunday at lunch. Although we have found that some of our young, you got babies, that can be a little hard. So we will also offer it during, we have 3 different hours for worship. So we'll offer it during one of our worship hours as well on occasion. And then sometimes on Wednesday nights.
I'll say this experientially. I've joined your church, and I'm thinking of a previous church that I joined. And the comparison and contrast is I really remember everything. Really do remember everything that was taught in your membership class. Now you taught it and I was listening to you, but I do remember it. In another membership class that I went through in previous years, it was 3 2.5-hour periods, 3 night 2.5-hour periods, and I remember 0. It's too much information.
Yeah, make it memorable. Make it short and memorable so that it sticks. That's the whole point, right? Is so that people understand who you are as a church and you understand who they are as a person.
Exactly.
That's the whole point of a class.
Get to these last two. Membership renewal. This is a minority of churches that maybe would have an annual renewal of membership. In other words, they are contacting everyone who is a part of the church and they're saying, do you want to be a part of the church for the future? And they're only contacting those who've had some degree of attendance. It's a high bar. It is not common, but there are a few churches that are actually requiring you to renew your membership annually. And it means you're committing to be involved, you're committing to give. Those churches tend to have a higher attendance than they do membership, obviously, for that reason. I don't think you've ever been a part of a church that had membership, annual membership renewal.
No, we don't. And I would say this is less a technical issue and more a cultural issue. You know, if you have this built into your culture, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Although it is, you talk about a church that has annual membership renewal, that's a very high bar of expectations. So, you know, you would need to build a culture. If you don't have this, let's say you don't even have a membership class, you've got nothing right now. I would just say, be very careful about jumping all the way to annual membership renewal. That requires a certain culture in the church that to be built first before you would get to that point. You know, at West Bradenton, if I tried to implement this, I think the church would follow my leadership, but they would be asking questions like, why are we doing this?
Exactly.
We actually deal with it more in the negative than the affirmative. And maybe this isn't exactly the right way, but if you're inactive for a year and we just have no idea where you are, we can't contact you, we can't find you, we will actually remove you from membership. We're not necessarily disciplining you in a church discipline way. It's just, hey, you haven't been around a long time. So we probably need to remove you from our roles. If you wanted to come back in, you'd obviously have to go back through the membership class. But membership renewal is a good thing, but it's a very high bar. It's a cultural thing. Be careful jumping right to that if you're not doing anything right now.
I can think of 4 churches right now that have membership renewal. All of the churches, the pastor has been there over 10 years. So
there you go.
There's some credibility. The last one, we'll wrap it up with this, is avoidance of membership terminology. I've already talked about this. Some churches just, they want affiliation. They want other words. They just don't like, they've abandoned the membership word. I've embraced the membership word.
I have too. In fact, we used to call our class Discover Class. Now we just call it Membership Class. Because every time I said Discover Class, I had to explain what it was. I said, come to our Discover class. This is our membership class. So we just changed it to membership class. I understand why people push back on it. You know, you think of being a member at Sam's Club, there's a consumeristic mentality to membership. You think of being a member at a country club, there's kind of an entitlement mentality. I totally get why people would say, yeah, maybe it's not the best term, but I've always said, okay, it's a biblical term. You're members of a body, just like Dad said at the beginning. You know, what's a better term? Yeah, okay, we're part of the fellowship. We're part of, you know, there's some other terms you could use, but I've found that.
So what is that? Oh, that's membership.
Yeah, you're actually a member. You always come back to this idea of, you know, we're a member of a church. Some churches have used the term owner in different things. And I get it. I'm not opposed to those things. I just think what's best is, you know, what's biblical. And I fall back on, hey, that's the term in the Bible. That's the term that seems to be the best. I do like the term membership, although I understand and have sympathies for those who are on the other side of the argument. But yeah, we just fell back on membership because it is what it is.
Thank you again for joining us as we have gone over 5 church membership models. Some of them are good models. Some of them are not so. We are so grateful for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. They have a very powerful and clear mission to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. They've got more than 40 degree programs. I love the Master of Arts in Church Revitalization because it's in partnership with Church Answers and our nonprofit Revitalized Network. This 37-hour degree is designed to help students move established churches from flatline to flourishing. Learn more about this program by visiting sebts.edu or look in your show notes. Where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there. Thank you, Danny Aiken and Chuck Lawless and Art Rainer and all the leadership and people at Southeastern Seminary. We absolutely love the partnership. Continue to join us here on Rainer on Leadership as the both Rainers will continue to discuss critical issues in the local church. And we'll continue to work together to make certain that we're doing all we can to grow healthy churches together.